الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. In continuation of the discussion on the book Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi rahmatullahi alayhi, we will be beginning, or will be starting inshallah, a new chapter, an interesting chapter, titled Kitabu Adab al-Qur'an al-Kareem wa Dhikri Fadlih, a chapter on the etiquettes of the Qur'an al-Kareem, and some mention of its virtues, some mention of the virtues of the Qur'an. He began by saying, أَعْظَمْ فَضَائِلِ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The first and foremost concept which we have to bring to mind in regards to the virtues of the Qur'an is that it is the speech of Allah. صح؟ Those of you who used to attend Muhammad Hala, Aqidah class. What is the Quran? Who remembers the definition according to Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya li Shaykh Al-Sami Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah? Who remembers the definition? Al-Quran?
Revelation from Allah.
Wallah? Arabi, ya Abna. Arabi.
Fahim.
Who remembers? Where are the students of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya? We have one here. I think you came. You were attending this class, Abdul Majid. Kalamullah. Tayyib.
And
Munazzal.
Munazzal.
Ghayru makhluq. Sah. Minhu bada. Walayhi abna.
Through
Jibreel Mafi. This part is not for the vision of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah or Aqidah al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. You forgot it. Mafi mushkila. Ala kulli hal, the definition is that the Quran is Kalamullah. Munazzal ghayru makhluq. It is revealed and sent down, it is uncreated. Uncreated. And then among them is minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. It began, it came from Allah Azza wa Jal, and to Allah shall return at the end of time. And therefore, the explicit usage here is kalamullah. And in the Quran, I believe it's in Surah At-Tawbah, fa'ajirhu hatta yasma'a kalamullah. And if one of the mushrikeen seeks your protection, then provide him with protection hatta yasma'a kalam Allah, until he gets to hear the speech of Allah, the words of Allah. Thumma ballighu ma'manah. Then deliver him to his place of safety and security. So the first thing is that it is the speech of Allah. And is the speech of Allah holy or is it unholy? It's a trick question, huh? Be careful. Holy or unholy?
Noble.
I didn't ask you about noble. I asked you a simple question. Is the speech of Allah holy or not holy? You tell me noble. Is it holy or unholy?
It's holy.
Are you sure?
You should not use that word.
Why not? Jama'at al-Khair, you're confused, wallah. One step at a time. Just because I said it's a trick question doesn't mean you give me wrong answers. I asked you one question, answer it. Is the speech of Allah holy or not holy? Wait, let's vote. Holy? Holy? Everybody here says it's holy? Gentlemen? Undecided? Holy? It's holy, Jama'at al-Khair. It's the kalam of Allah. Allah is Al-Quddus, sah? So, the speech of Allah is holy, no doubt. As a description, it's holy. Now, the Qur'an,
Do we call it Holy Quran? No. But you guys got too excited and you already went ahead before I even started speaking about the Quran. Just because the speech of Allah is holy does not mean that we call the Quran the Holy Quran. Right. Why? For many reasons. The most important of which is that when we say holy, we have to translate it to Arabic. Because we don't use English as the medium for da'wah, and then we translate to Arabic. We use Arabic as the original language, and then we translate to English. So we cannot do it the other way around. In Arabic, have you ever come across the statement, Al-Qur'an al-Muqaddas? Anyone here? Have you ever read anywhere in the Qur'an, any hadith which says, Al-Qur'an al-Muqaddas? La. Never. Therefore, to say Holy Qur'an is to call the Qur'an by a name which Allah never used, nor did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Very simple, that's it. That's the real reason and the only reason. Is it holy? Sure, of course. It's the speech of Allah. Allah is holy, His speech is holy. It's one of the sifat, one of the attributes of Allah, no doubt. But we don't give it that title because it wasn't used. That's the first reason. Now let's add to that. In addition to that, what is the other conflict we have? Christians call their Bible Holy Bible. So now we're imitating the Christians and we're using a term which they use for their book, which Islam did not use for its book. So it became more like the Christians say we have a Holy Bible, so we said, oh yeah, well, we have a Holy Quran. Now, we don't need that because the Bible is inferior to the Quran. And we don't go down to the level of the Bible to compete with it. Their Bible has to ascend, which it cannot, to compete with the Quran. So we don't lower and undermine the book of Allah by giving a title that the kuffar use for their book. And thirdly, so far we have two reasons, valid reasons. Thirdly, the term holy itself is problematic, depending on the faith of the individual you're speaking to. So when you speak to a Muslim and you say Holy Land, Mecca, or you say Holy Quran, he doesn't think in his mind that this is an object of worship. This is something that you dedicate any devout worship to. But if you speak to a Christian, the term holy can signify the divine entity. Therefore, they have a Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. So in a Christian mind, holy could be of a divine quality. So when you say Holy Prophet, as many Muslims do today, and if you're speaking to a Christian, what may come to mind is that we deify the Prophet Muhammad like they deify Jesus. That they worship Allah and Jesus, the Son of God, and we worship Allah and Muhammad, the Messenger of God, which is shirk. So all of these are clear indications that we need to stay away from this term as much as possible. Unless we speak into a group of people who understand, and in which case there's no harm. Like right now, Kalamullah, it's a holy speech of Allah. But notice the Quran al-Kareem. Kareem could mean what? Two things. Generous, right? Rajulun Kareem, someone who's generous, pays, gives a lot of sadaqah. Or Kareem as in, like Yusuf alayhi salam, Kareem ibn al-Kareem, someone of noble qualities, of respect. So, وَقَدْ مَدَحَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي آيَاتٍ كَثِيرًا كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal has praised this Quran in numerous occasions. So He said, and this is a book which we have set down, blessed. That was Al-An'am ayah 92. In another ayah in Surah Al-Isra, Allah said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَى. Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Al-Isra. Many people confuse these two. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. This is Surah Al-Kahf. Al-Isra, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي الَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَى. صح؟ طيب. Verily this Quran guides to that which is أقوام. What is أقوام? Who can think of the root word? What's the root for this term? Qawam, which is similar to Qiyam, which is similar to Aqimu Salah, Qamu, Istaqimu, as is before the initiation of the Salah, Istiqama on the Deen. All of these terms have to do with rising, standing, rising, rectifying, making something straight, making something upright instead of crookedness, and so on and so forth. So Aqwam is that which is more straight. So this Quran will guide you to that which is more straight. Anything that you think of, the Quran will guide you to that which is better than that. In another ayah in Surah Fussilat, Allah Azza wa Jal said, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. Batil, what is batil? Fossil. Cannot come to this Quran. من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. طيب, does the Quran have yadayn? Does the Quran have hands so that the falsehood cannot come from between its hands? Does it?
No.
What? Huh? Does it have hands or no?
No.
What's the dalil? Huh? Metaphoric. Oh, mashallah. Are we supposed to, or are we allowed to look at the ayat and give him a metaphorical explanation without an evidence? Very dangerous. That's exactly what the Ash'aris do. They will get something from the Quran or the Sunnah and they will misinterpret the usage or the terms used by Allah Azza wa Jal or the Prophet alayhi salam, and they will say these are metaphorical. So the same way they say that Allah doesn't have hands, because they don't believe Allah has hands, so they look at the ayat which mention hands and they explain them away. They say they mean power, they mean qudra, they mean so on and so forth. So the asl is that you have to accept the meaning as it appears, unless you have an evidence which indicates otherwise. So now we have the Quran in our hands, because this is the kitab. Mind you, we go to another aqidah issue. This Quran, the Quran is the book of Allah. This is the Quran. It's not just a book. It's the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal in a book form. Does it happen? Do you see any hands? No. So now you have an evidence which allows you to understand bayna yadayh, meaning metaphorically. But you cannot apply this principle all across without evidence. Now, this is from the scene. Have anyone seen Allah? Has anyone seen Allah? Therefore, you cannot deny or prove anything regarding Allah because we haven't seen Him. This is the point of difference. So whatever Allah described Himself with, we accept. Say, سَبِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. So the falsehood cannot come anywhere near this Quran, neither from before it nor from behind it. It's protected completely. وَأَنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. It's the hifz of Allah Azza wa Jal, of this book, that no one can do anything, no one can tamper with it, no one can distort it, no one can add an ayah. Don't you think somebody would have managed to add one ayah over the last 1400 years? Or maybe take out one ayah? Not even one. 14, that's massive. That's a long time with many people conspiring against Islam, wishing that Islam will disappear. All they needed to do is manage to get one ayah out. It would have solved many of their problems. But subhanAllah, they are unable to do it. He said, وَفِي أَفْرَادِ الْبُخَارِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ عُثْمَانِ بْنِ عَفَّانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best of you are those, or is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. So the best of people is the one who learns the Quran and he teaches the Quran. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن لله عز وجل أهلين من الناس قيل من هم يا رسول الله قال هم أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وقصته. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, Allah has people that are special to Him." Okay, certain people are special to Allah. So the Sahaba said, "Who are they, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, "The people of the Quran are those people that are special to Allah. Those are the people that are chosen by Allah and are special to Him. The people of the Quran." Then he quoted a hadith which is da'if jiddan, according to Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. Therefore, I will not quote it or translate it. And the same goes, the one after it is fine. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال يقال لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتق ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلتك عند آخر آية تقرأها. That it will be said to the one who used to possess the Quran, that recite and ascend and beautify your recitation as you used to do it in the dunya, because your degree in Jannah will be according to the last ayah you will recite. The hadith afterwards is also da'if. It could be hasan according to some, but for now it's da'if, and therefore I will not quote it either. قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه ينبغي لحامل القرآن أن يعرف بليله إذا الناس نائمون وبنهاره إذا الناس مفطرون وبحزنه إذا الناس يفرحون وببكائه إذا الناس يضحكون وبصمته إذا الناس يخوضون وبخشوعه إذا الناس يختالون. والله المستعان. The one who holds the Quran or possesses the Quran, as in the one who memorizes the Quran, Al-Hafidh, what we call nowadays, he should be known by his sleepless nights while the people are sleeping. And he should be known with his by fasting the day while the people have broken their fasts. And he should be known for his sadness while the people are joyful. And he should be known for his crying while the people are laughing. And he should be known for his quietness while the people are conversing. And he should be known for his humbleness while the people are being arrogant. Some tough qualities which we need. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ جَافِيًا وَلَا غَافِلًا وَلَا صَخَابًا وَلَا حَدِيدًا. And it is inappropriate for him to be harsh or to be heedless, or to be loud, or to be firm. وقال الفضيل رحمه الله حامل القرآن حامل راية الإسلام. الفضيل said, the one who carries the Quran carries the slogan or the flag of Islam. لا ينبغي أن يلغو مع من يلغو. He should not engage in idle talk with those who engage in idle talk. ولا يسهو مع من يسهو. Nor should he become heedless with those who become heedless. وَلَا يَلْهُ مَعْ مَنْ يَلْهُ. Nor should he play and entertain himself with those who entertain themselves. تَعْظِيمًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. All this should be done out of extolling and exalting Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ حَاجَةٍ. Nor should he ever need anything from people. بَلْ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ تَكُونَ حَوَائِجُ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, the needs of people should be from him. He shouldn't need anything from anyone, rather people should need things from him. And then he mentioned a hadith, or not a hadith, it's an event or an incident which is attributed to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. And because it's not easy to verify this kind of statement, and I find the content to be problematic, I will skip that as well. Huh? So those of you who know Arabic can read it and judge for yourselves, but it's a little odd. على كل حال فصل في أداب التلاوة. He said ينبغي لقارئ القرآن أن يكون على وضوء مستعملا للأدب مطلقا غير متربع ولا متكئ ولا جالس على هيئة المتكبر. It is incumbent on the reciter of the Quran to be in a state of wudu, and he should be following particular etiquettes and mannerism. He should be sitting in a way where he's not reclining or sitting in a manner where he seems to be arrogant. Some people, you know, like one hand on the back and the other one stretched out and things of the sort, which is the norm, what we do. But the Shaykh is saying, no, it's not appropriate for the one. Of course, these are the adab. Doesn't mean it's halal and haram now, or wajib and makruh and so on and so forth. It's just a recommendation of the posture of the one who's actually reciting the Quran. He shouldn't look like he is arrogant. وأفضل الأحوال أن يقرأ في الصلاة قائما وأن يكون في المسجد. And the best condition is to recite the Quran while standing in salah. In salah. And that he should also be in the masjid. فأما مقدار القراءة فقد اختلفت فيه عادات السلف. As for the amount or the duration of one's recitation or the length of one's recitation, then that has differed. It has been differed upon by the what is customary to our righteous predecessors. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَانَ يَخْتِمُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلًا خَتْمًا. Some of them would conclude the whole Quran in the night and a day. Each day, يعني each 24 hours. ليلة والنهار والليلة يعني 24 hours. Once he would finish the Quran. Huh? How do you like that? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَانَ يَخْتِمُ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَيْلَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And some of them would even do more than that. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَانَ يَخْتِمُ فِي ثَلَاثٍ خَتْمًا. And others would complete the Quran in 3 days. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَانَ يَخْتِمُ فِي كُلِّ أَسْبُوعٍ. And some of them would conclude the Quran weekly. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَانَ يَخْتِمُ فِي كُلِّ شَهْرٍ. And some of them would conclude it once a month. اشتغالا بالتدبر او بنشر العلم او بتعليمه او بنوع من التعبد غير القراءه او بغيره من اكتساب الدنيا. However, they would do so because they would be busy in contemplating on the Quran or in spreading knowledge or in learning or teaching the Quran or any form of worship other than recitation or any of the lawful means of earning of the dunya. يعني specifically nowadays, of course, you know, when we read this, ya akhwan, we have to also be realistic according to the modern situation we're in. The lifestyle of the Salaf is not like the lifestyle of the Khalaf. Back then there was no rent and no bills and no nothing. So whoever had quta yawmihi, if you had the food, no refrigerator to keep food, lahm, in the freezer for 1 month and then eat it afterwards. Either you have food for the 1 day or you don't. If you have food, you're good to go. You're good to go. You're rich. You're well off. You're not begging. So the lifestyle differed. Therefore, if somebody did business for 3 hours after Fajr, 4 hours, and he sold the hatab or whatever he was selling back then, and he made his money, khalas. He has the rest of the day to relax. Can you do this today? Can't do this today. We would love to. It'd be nice. You know, if everybody's job was only 3 hours of work and khalas, they give you the full salary, then they say, go have fun for the rest of the day. Yeah, we would read the Quran and do all kinds of things. But nowadays you have to pay bills, you have rent, you have wives, you have children, you have tuition, you have this. Things that are done on monthly basis. And you need a particular amount of money on monthly basis to pay off. Otherwise you're on the street begging. So not discouraging anyone from this. But just so we will not think that, يعني, how do we bring a relation between then and now? The life has changed. This masjid, the masjid back then weren't here. Weren't like this. People didn't need to have this masjid, you know, to look after this. How much is the electric bill? These neon lights, they stay on Allah knows how long. How much is the electric bill just for the masjid? Don't ask about the air conditions. Don't ask about the water. Don't ask about the sewage, bayar, and the list goes on. For you to maintain a masjid now, you need a huge bill. You need 4 or 5 maybe donors who donate money to the masjid on monthly basis to look after the masjid. If there was no such thing, this masjid will be mu'attal. People will not be able to pray here. No mukayyif, no light, no hammam, done. Khalas. People will pray on the street. Even the masjid now, maintaining the masjid has become a very sophisticated, complicated issue. So the life in which we're living now, and this is yani from the qadr of Allah towards the end of time, is not the same. So, saddidu wa qaribu. Aim and get as close to the target as you can. That's what saddidu wa qaribu means. Set there is to, or you know, like a sniper. Khalas, you know the area. Qaribu, get close. Can't do what they did? Fine. Well, we should work it out as much as possible. But I don't want to hear that anyone quit his job yesterday and he said, wallah, now I do khatman every 2 days or every 3 days, and then his family back home is waiting for the monthly fulus he sends. They say, wallah, not anymore, brother, because I want to be like the Salaf. I want to read the Quran once every 2 days. Say, no, I didn't tell you that. And that is not expected of you either. Now, al-muhim, wa awla al-amr, ما لا يمنع الإنسان من أشغاله المهمة ولا يؤذيه في بدنه ولا يفوته بعض الترتيل والفهم. The most, يعني the summary of all this, the best of things which he can suggest, رحمه الله, is that that which does not prevent the person from other important matters. Read the Quran according to what we just basically said, according to what time allows. That doesn't distract you from the other important things. I'm not going to say more important things, and nor does it harm you physically. That your body is unable to stand for that long or duration of time, and so on and so forth. And also, that which you do not miss out on, the tarteel and the understanding. Don't make your objective is just to read, like poetry. So you see people just going through the pages fast. You just want to finish. Don't do that. Read with tarteel. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ Tartila, give it its right. Recite it with beautiful voice, like the Imam Zallah Khair. When you hear the recitation in the Salah, it makes a difference. Of course, if you're able to imitate it. People like myself, no matter what they do, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. But we try to come close, as opposed to surah. And then we don't understand what we're reading. So those of you who speak Tagalog, you need to have a translation of the Quran in Tagalog. And you need to read what the Quran means, not only Arabic recitation. And the same thing goes for the Urdu-speaking people. And the list goes on. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما لأن أقرأ البقرة وآل عمران وأرتلهما وأتدبرهما أحب إلي من أن أقرأ القرآن كله هذرمة. ومن وجد خلسة في وقت فليغتنم كثرة القراءة ليفوز بكثرة الثواب. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, for me to recite Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran, however, with proper recitation and with reflection on them, is more beloved to me than reciting the whole Quran in a hasty manner. Two surah from the beginning is better than the whole Quran if it's done in a hasty manner. So, whoever then finds some gap, some time availability, then let him benefit. Let him take advantage of that by reciting abundantly so that his reward will be multiplied. فَقَدْ كَانَ عُثْمَانُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ فِي رَكْعَةٍ يُوتِرُ بِهَا وَكَانَ الشَّفِيعِيُّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ يَخْتِمُ فِي رَمَضَانَ 60 خَتْمًا. Uthman رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ used to, and it was narrated that he did that. He did the whole Quran in one rak'ah, in witr. رضي الله عنه. And it is narrated, wallahu alam, this requires verification, that Imam al-Shafi'i would finish the Quran 60 times in Ramadan. And they had barakah in their time, يعني, at the end of the day, but still, Allahu alam. وأما الدوام فليكن على قدر الإمكان كما أشرنا إليه. As for continuity, then let that be according to what is feasible for you, as we have mentioned previously. واستحب بعضهم إذا ختم بالنهار أن يختم في ركعتي الفجر أو بعدهما وإذا ختم بالليل أن يختم في ركعتي المغرب أو بعدهما ليستقبل بالختم الأول الليل وأول النهار. Some of them recommended that if you conclude the khatma in the morning or during the daytime, then do so after the two rak'at of fajr, during the rak'atayn of fajr or afterwards. And if you conclude it at night, then do so after Maghrib or afterwards, so that you will be finishing either in the beginning of the night or the beginning of the day. وَقَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَنْ خَتَبَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَهُ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ. This requires verification, but it was narrated that Ibn Mas'ud said, whoever concludes the Quran will have an acceptable supplication. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. وَكَانَ أَنَسُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذَا خَتَمَ الْقُرْآنَ جَمَعَ أَهْلَهُ وَدَعَا. This is known. This is established. That Anas radiallahu anhu, when he would conclude reciting the Quran, he will bring his family and he would make dua. This is, by the way, one of the evidences used to support the idea that one may do the khatm after ending his recitation. But this is not in reference to the khatm in Taraweeh. This is him. When he would read his own Quran, he is reading from a book, he's finished, he will call his family and they would make dua. This is not referring to Taraweeh, where people wait for the khatmah on the 27th and this big havoc, and people who didn't come all Ramadan suddenly show up on the 27th night, and all this modern, innovated practice which we have today. La, this is not supported. This is not supported. Now, this is just, that requires another discussion when the time comes, inshallah. Ala kulli hal, that would be sufficient for tonight. Because inshallah we will be dealing afterwards with the beautification or the beautifying of the voice. What are the evidences in regards to beautifying one's delivery of the Quran and the evidences for that? So that will be dealt with inshallah at the appropriate time. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.